as one of the great players in the history of the game, Michael Strahan.
Stadium tonight, otherwise we wouldn't have many good things to talk about. It was a bad, bad loss for the Giants as the Colts smacked them around pretty good over MetLife. 40-24 was your final. Welcome to Giants Post Game Live, everybody. We'll be hearing from Michael Strahan and teammates a lot more later on, but right now we got to talk about the game. Again, I am Russ Salzberg, joined by my colleagues, Roman Oben, Sean O'Hara, and Amani Toomer. They were there tonight, but again, that was the good news. We'll talk about Michael Strahan later. Quite frankly, gentlemen, I am absolutely shocked. They had a great bonus last week on the bye week. Eagles and Cowboys lose. Eagles win yesterday. Quarterback breaks his clavicle. Cowboys lose, and the Giants just blow a golden opportunity tonight. I'm shocked by the way they performed.
Well, you know, there's a saying, guys, that you can't worry about what other guys are doing around the league. You just have to take care of your business. And tonight, in a night where Michael Strahan obviously was getting honored with his Hall of Fame ring and all the Giants fans, and Tom Coughlin even talked last week about even the 12th man element of the fact that Giants hadn't been at home for almost a month. And to go out there and perform in this fashion was really disappointing. I'm sure the fans were. They came out to see these Giants play tonight.
Yeah, you mentioned coming off the bye week, Russ. I mean, I think everybody thought that they would see a very enthusiastic, excited and a sharp team, and we saw everything but that. We saw a lot of miscues. We saw some sloppy football, something that we've seen all year long. And really, when it comes down to is the Indianapolis Colts are a playoff-caliber team, and the Giants just could not keep up with them as much as they had opportunities in the first half. When you play caliber teams like the Colts, yeah, you have to make those plays. You have to make the catches. You have to make that third down conversion. You have to make all the big plays on defense. They dropped interceptions on defense. They dropped passes on offense, and that's why they lost the game.
You're definitely right. The opportunities they did not take advantage of. And this team right now, the injuries situation, they're not that good to where they cannot take advantage of those opportunities and compete with a team like the Colts. It just didn't seem like I had a bad feeling going into this game. I just didn't think that with the injury situation and the way that they've been performing over the last couple weeks, that I wasn't feeling too comfortable this week. And then the Colts get beat last week the way that they did by the Pittsburgh Steelers. I just knew that this wasn't going to be a good one, and it turned out just the way I thought.
Well, listen, Andrew Luck, you heard Gruden say during the telecast, if he had to pick one guy to start a franchise, it would be Andrew Luck. I mean, the guy was just outstanding tonight. I mean, he's only in his third year. He looks like he's playing in maybe his 13th year. He just seems to know what he has to do at all times, and he's very good at doing it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no secret. It's been argued Andrew Luck is the best quarterback in the league under 30 years old. And when he turns 30, he'll probably be the best quarterback in the league over 30 years old. But he had a good command of the offense today. He got everybody involved. He's got some, you know, good experienced veterans on the perimeter. But in terms of what Andrew Luck did to this Giants defense, they had him on the ropes early in the first half, made them punt a couple times, 3 points early in the first quarter. But over the course of the game, they got better. And you saw a Colts team that played significantly better than they played against Pittsburgh Steelers their last road game.
Sean, let me just say one thing, and I'm not taking anything away from Andrew Luck, but the other thing that Andrew Luck had tonight, he had his teammates making plays for him while Eli's guys did not make plays for him. And there were so many early drops. There was three or four from Preston Parker, from Randall. There was just Donnell. I mean, and they were first down drops. You know, that changes the outlook, the course of the game right away if they're making those catches.
Yeah, and the drops, there was even a couple of errant throws. You know, we saw a couple of balls sail on Eli. And, you know, coming into this game, I think we all knew this was going to come down to the New York Giants on third down, because the Indianapolis Colts defense is the best in the NFL on third down. They're only giving up conversions at 31%. And the Giants, you know, looking at that, you had to say to yourself, we need to run the football well on first and second down, get into third and short, third and three, third and four, third and five. 35 manageable. They were in third and nine tonight, I want to say maybe 10 times. You cannot convert third and nine against the best team in the NFL on that. And it all, everything points to all of those miscues, Russ.
Amani, let me ask you this. You're the Giants' all-time leading receiver. Is it so hard to be a young receiver in this league? Does it take time to know how to haul them in on a regular basis when you have to make a big play?
Well, I think being a young receiver in this league is very hard because in college there's things that you just don't have to pay attention to. You don't have to pay attention to, you know, blitzes. You don't have to pay attention to protections. And all of a sudden, all this stuff is going through your mind, splits. You really have to, you know, disguise what you're doing a lot more as opposed to when you're in college, because college just tell you to run, just tell you to line up and go. And in pros, it's more of a game where you're disguising your splits, your disguise, your stems, your routes so that the defensive back doesn't get a jump on it, because they watch a lot more film in the pros, and to get open, it's a much more of a mental game of a chess match as opposed to just being able to physically beat people like you could do in college.
Well, one young guy who does look like you know what he's doing out there in terms of catching the ball and making plays is number 13, Odell Beckham Jr., but we'll talk more about him in a little bit. We're going to take a break, but first we've got to take care of some business here. Remember, folks, make sure to go to Adorama.com/Giants. This time to win yourself a Lenovo ThinkPad Ultrabook. Can't they just say Ultrabook? We'll make it real simple. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the Giants. Stick around. I'm Russ Salzberg along with Roman Owen, Sean O'Hara, and Amani Toomer.
Right through,
yes, well, what are we
right
talking
through,
about? Ultrabook, all right? Adorama, you got to go to Adorama. Stay right where you are. Giants Post Game Live is coming back.
The sacks were the disruptive plays. So the things that Tom Coughlin wanted to see out of his team coming off the bye didn't manifest themselves. Running the ball, hitting the quarterback, and making plays above the X's and O's. And that was, unfortunately, if you're a Giants fan, that was illustrated and highlighted with a yellow highlighter tonight, because Dominic Rogers-Cromartie has to pick off that pass that went for a touchdown to T.Y. Hilton. There were some throws in the first half where the passes were being contested, but the Giant receiver never came away with the football. Ball got batted away, incomplete. There were some opportunities to force turnovers, interceptions, tip balls, things like that, that did not happen. Balls on the ground, not recovering it. Special teams, nothing going on in the return game. So, you know, coach said play above the X's and O's, and that did not happen. Here's Giants head coach Tom Coughlin.
Played, hard in the first half. I thought the defense worked hard. I think if we could have somehow mounted some points in the first half.
I'm going to bust this one for 70 yards. I mean, he thought every play he could go to the house.
All right, let's go right now, though, to Tom Coughlin.
I thought the defense worked hard. I think if we could have somehow mounted some points in the first half, it might have negated a little bit the third quarter. The third quarter, obviously, they took the ball, went and scored twice, and they scored once off of an error, one of our errors. And we really didn't match any of that during that period. We got some late production, but not enough. But we continue to have the same problem. The 3 points in the first half is not going to get you much of an opportunity to beat the number one offense in the National Football League. So a team that's scored as many points as they've scored. And, you know, we contributed some to that. They didn't necessarily earn all of it, but nevertheless, it all goes on the board. We had one theme throughout. We were very much aware of this Indianapolis team and how at times they had taken huge leads and the opponent had made a run for them toward the end of the game, and other times they fell way behind and they had a chance to make a run at the end of the game as well. So we knew full well the explosiveness of this team, the production of the quarterback, et cetera, et cetera. I thought we were still battling and in it at the half, even though we only had the 3 points. We felt pretty good the way we were playing on defense, but they took it and drove it and scored the first two times they had the ball, and then we contributed with the fumble that they ran down inside the five and scored there too. So I did think that we played hard. We had a little bit of a lull and when they started to rush the ball on us, but we came back, we bounced back, held them to a field goal there, but you know, everything was too little too late. Well, there wasn't any run game. I thought we would be able to do some business with the pass, but our third down conversions were, you know, they didn't. We did a pretty good job of holding them on third down too. A team that ranked as high as they were, but we were worse off in that area, from what I see. But if you're gonna keep the ball, control the ball. I really don't know what the time of possession was. That was another thing we were very leery of. But if you're going to be able to do that, you got to convert on third down, and we didn't. They go fast. Whenever they make a big play, they go fast. We talked about it all week. Our defense had prepared for it all week long. All of a sudden, we weren't getting lined up as fast as we should. I wasn't sure exactly whether the ball was fumbled or not. It wasn't. But, you know, I would have done anything to slow them down right there. And obviously it didn't work. But they were able to take advantage of us in that one circumstance, and it's something they had done in the past after big plays, and we had worked on it. We just didn't line up as well as fast as we should have lined up. I was trying to do anything I could to stop the clock, stop the game, whatever, whether it was or not. But seriously, did I think that they had, you know, didn't catch the ball or whatever? No, I wasn't. I felt he caught the ball. I was trying to do anything I could to slow the thing down, to stop what took place. Because you figure we gave him the one, okay, and then that play was another one. So 14 of those points came off of that type of thing. Now, they were driving the ball. I'm not going to tell you that they might not have continued to drive the ball, but, you know, we were prepared to not allow them to use that tactic, and it didn't work.
You always keep it in your side.
Yeah, usually. A lot of times I don't have the pockets. I do now. this time of year. But I keep it in the stock, always have.
Tommy, you reported that you tried to play the Yankees earlier this week. Now, you weren't able to do that as much as you wanted.
Hey, I can't worry about that part of it. We have to worry about what the team we play next week. And just as you said, okay, if we had a smaller percentage of plays that were outstanding plays, and there were some good plays out there tonight, I'm not going to tell you there weren't, then we need more. Obviously, we need more. And if you just put it into the category of scoring, we need to score some points. I mean, what has it been, 3 weeks, and we've, you know, a shutout, what, 21 and 24? That's not enough points.
Can you score points without being able to?
It's not easy. It's not going to help us any. We always talk about that. But, you know, at the end of the night, I think they had 98 yards and we had, what, 88 or 9 yards. So there wasn't many runs that were very good. There were a couple of contributing runs, but not much. And, you know, as much as I stand here and tell you that I want balance, you obviously, if you're gonna score some points, you got to have big plays. And if you're not running the ball much, the only thing that I worry about when we do, you know, go ahead and stick our neck out is the turnovers.
Level of concern, Tom, with the
Yeah, well, there's a lot of concern. We lose, we've lost a player or two in each game, it seems like, and. That's not a good one. Prince was playing well. I mean, he did a very nice job tonight. And that was a blow to lose him. Well, there's no question the way he's been playing and the way he played tonight. He's an outstanding young quarterback that controls and manages the game very well and is accurate. His throws to the tight ends tonight were outstanding. The Reggie Wayne touchdown was an outstanding throw. You know, we were not in great position in coverage on that play, but nevertheless, it was a heck of a throw. Normally, that's surgery. I don't know. I haven't heard anything on that. He was x-rayed, and you know, I would just be foolish to say anything about it until I hear.
I think head coach Tom Coughlin came up with the new rallying cry for the team. You know, that talk is cheap. We need more. That's what it has to be, because they need a whole lot more if they're going to get back into this thing. Right now they are on the outside of, look, I should say on the outside of the playoff picture looking in. All right, you're watching Giants Post Game Live. We've got a lot more coming up. We're going to hear from Eli Manning. Paul Dottino was on the field getting reaction from the losing Giants tonight. So, again, stay right where you are. It's Giants Post Game Live here on My Night. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live. Once again, Giants unfortunately come up on the short end of a 40-24 score, dropping their record to 3-5. What do you say we now go back to MetLife Stadium, check in with Paul Dottino, who caught up with young receivers Corey Washington and Odell Beckham Jr.
Well, Corey, it's got to feel good for you to get into the regular season game and, of course, to catch your first real NFL touchdown pass.
Yes, sir, man. It felt good, man. But, you know, we didn't get the W, so it didn't really feel as good. So hopefully we can go to Seattle next week and get a W and they score again.
How difficult has it been for you to have that great camp and that great preseason to just have to bide your time on the bench?
I mean, it's been real difficult, but, you know, patience is everything. You know, I had patience. I waited my time, and once I got my opportunity, I embraced it.
And what have you learned from your time so far being here?
Keep working hard. That's it. Keep working hard. Stay focused. Keep a tunnel vision.
Corey Washington, thank you. All right, Odell. So it was about 150 receiving yards, you know, this night. Your first 100-yard game. What was going right?
Honestly, I didn't know that. You know, we got down, but, you know, we were going to keep fighting. You know, it's not in us to quit. So we just got to pick up these mistakes that we're making and capitalize.
It was disjointed throughout the course of the first half. You guys got behind. It was just too much of a mountain to climb, wasn't it?
Absolutely. But, you know, we're going to keep fighting. We're going to make our changes, correct everything we need to, and we're going to get back at it.
I got to figure your role is going to get bigger from here on out. Best of luck to you.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Back to you guys.
Paul, thank you very much. Odell Beckham Jr., 8 catches, 156 yards. Again, he's a rookie. To me, he doesn't play like a rookie, nor does he act like a rookie. He's got, to me, I see a leader evolving there. He knows what he's doing out there. He knows how to conduct himself.
Yeah, I think he definitely knows how to conduct himself where it's most important on the field. I think that what he's done in terms of 156 yards as a rookie, no training camp. I just think what he could have been and what this season would have looked like if he'd had a whole training camp and got more familiar with the offense and familiar with Eli as well. That could have changed the entire, you know, beginning of the season. Beckham and Cruz both healthy. Yeah. I mean, that could have been a dynamic duel, and it might be next year, but you know, too bad we can't look that far in the future.
Yeah, Beckham, he's got unbelievable skill set. I mean, great hands, great speed, but here's the problem. In the first half, he had one catch for 19 yards. So while it's great that he has almost 150 yards receiving now, a lot of that was in the second half. And I think as a young player, he's learning, you know, how to get into the game. And for the Giants, they just can't wait. They can't wait till the second half to get him going early. So, you know, for him to only have one catch in the first half, they have to do a better job getting involved early on so he builds his confidence.
But in fairness to that game plan, so let me ask you guys this. In fairness to that happening, but it opens it up for other guys, and other guys did not make plays.
Too many. Well,
drops.
When the Colts were up, and you get to the second half where you're not so much prevent, but they're playing deep, the corners are off, safeties are off, they're giving you a big cushion. Yeah. So you're seeing Corey Washington, you're seeing Beckham have a lot of these big plays. And, you know, and it's good for them to get that experience in the game. But, again, Coach Coughlin said, you know, too little, too late, you need more. I mean, that's coming from the head coach. So I think everyone in that meeting room should look at that as a marker and saying this team just hasn't started fast at all. I don't know when they scored the first drive because this game was it was 3-0 in the first half, in the first quarter. At some point it was like 10-3. So had the offense been able to do a little bit more, had we seen that Odell Beckham in the first quarter, like you said, Sean, that might have been able to give the defense a little bit more of a rest and play better in the second half than they did. So both offense and defense have to play off each other 100%, or else you're going to continue to have these type of outcomes at the end of the game.
You were talking about when did they score? 19th straight game they did not score on their opening drive. 19th straight game, and this year they are 0-5 when the other team scores first. So their record is 3-5.
Well, Russ, they punted 7 times in the first half. So as good as the defense did at holding them to field goals, you can't punt 7 times in the first half and expect to win the football game against the number one ranked offense in the NFL.
Yeah, they just blew, folks, a golden opportunity again. They got gifts last weekend in their bye week. They got gifts yesterday, and they just threw those gifts away, dropped their record to 3-5. And again, they're behind the eight ball in their division, and they have given themselves almost zero margin for error. We got Antro Roll coming up in the next segment. Eli Manning as well tonight, so stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Night.
feel like there's a lot of things you need to do differently. As players, we have to help ourselves. As coaches, we have to help ourselves. When an opportunity presents itself, you know, we have to come down and we have to make the plays. We have to win one-on-one matchups, and we didn't do that today. You know, it's just getting repetitive. You know, it's we got to find a way. We got to find a way to make it right. Yeah, obviously. We're 3-5, so I think there's a lot to be, you know, to be worried about. We're not winning the games, and when we're out there in the field as players, and like I said, you know, no disrespect to any team or no taking any credit away from any team, because teams that win, they deserve the win, no matter how the game unfolds. But I feel like, you know, we can do so much different. You know, I feel like we can do so much different. And this game is about attitude. It's 2014. You know, the I don't know, man. You know, you gotta have a lot of passion about this game. You know, you gotta want it. No team is gonna give you anything in this league. And right now, we're not taking it. You know, we're not taking it. We're not, you know, capitalizing on opportunities. We have to fight harder. You know, you have to get dirty. You know, get down and get nasty sometimes. You know, in this game. You know, you play within the rules. You know, but I don't know.
Natural role, talking about blown opportunities going in, blown opportunities tonight on defense and on, of course, on offense, but defense as well. Antro was one guy, almost had an interception. Prince, unfortunately, not only almost had an interception, but then he goes down. He's done for the season with a torn bicep. DRC had a interception taken away, which resulted in a touchdown. It was one blown opportunity, quite frankly, tonight after another, both offense and defense.
Yeah, I mean, it was going to be an uphill battle for the Giants with their injury situation to compete. And if Andrew Luck throws the ball up, the Giants have to come away with it. They have to give their offense an opportunity with the short field. They have to, you know, give themselves a chance to get off the field on defense because they couldn't hold up for that long. Obviously, in the second half, when they really exploded with points, the Colts really, they took over the game. And Giants need to take advantage of every opportunity they get, especially when they're overmatched because of the injury situation.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Coughlin talked about this a few weeks ago. Sometimes, whether you're a receiver on offense or DB on defense, you've got to get those 50-50 balls, the balls that you've got to either take away from the opponent if you're a defense trying to get an interception.
Make a play.
Yeah, you just have to make a play, and that's playing above the X's and O's.
Yeah, that's exactly. Coach said that all week. Yeah, you've got to play above the X's and O's.
Yeah, And I have this, you know, this theory of defensive backs that are your tough physical hitters usually aren't ball hawks. You've got the ball hawks that get interceptions, you guys that don't. And I think Antrell Roll, maybe Stevie Brown, the 2012 Stevie Brown, the only two guys that naturally come down with those interceptions. Otherwise, I mean, you're seeing, you know, balls fumbled up in the air and a lot of shoulda, woulda. I mean, you've got to make those plays, especially when you're playing against a quarterback like Andrew Luck, who's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. You cannot make mistakes against him. When you have a chance to take the ball away, you have to do it.
But not only were the defensive backs not catching the ball, but the receivers, the offensive wide receivers, were not catching the ball as well. And those are mistakes. I mean, if you drop a ball on third down, that's as good as a turnover because you're punting and giving the ball back to the other team. So I think the offense really needed to tighten up too. You know, this team needs to, you know, they need to be scrappy. They need to try to, you know, probably play as close to mistake-free football as possible, and that's exactly what they're not doing.
You know, Antoine Roll sounded frustrated. Yeah. You know, he almost sounded like he was getting emotional. Yeah. And, you know, I think for this team, they really need to recognize where they're at because they're about to get on a flight and go out and play Seattle. They can't feel sorry for themselves. But to your
nobody
point, Imani,
else is.
Yeah, nobody cares about their situation. we heard Tom talk about we need to play above the X and O's. We need to make those plays. Right. This game is all about matchups. You have to win your one-on-one matchup. The Giants aren't doing it on either side of the football. And when you look at this team, they are not a confident team. I mean, we were there. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like every time there was a missed play, it was, you could almost sense that the body language is not there. Yeah. They're not confident. The defense is not confident in the offense, and rightfully so. And the offense really has no confidence that the defense is going to go out there and stop teams. So they're just not firing on all cylinders.
Well, winning, as you guys know, winning builds confidence. Losing makes
We have confidence in you, Russ.
Well, you should, big boy. You should. All right. Anyway, we got Eli Manning. We got him talking about some confidence coming up. So stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine.
Early on, we got in some third and longs, which is never good. Too many of those, and it's just hard to convert those. I was off a little bit early on. You know, I was missing some guys high in the first quarter. I don't know what where that came from, but that hurt us on a few. On a few plays, had a third down to the right, rolling out, missed Odell high, and had one on a drive, throwing, hit Preston Parker high. But, we didn't you know, hit a couple big plays, hit a couple good things. We just didn't sustain, you know, drives, and we didn't find completions very well. We didn't run the ball very well, and so you don't run the ball well and you throw incompletions, you end up with a lot of third and longs, and that was kind of the case, and we didn't do a good job converting those.
What are your level of concern right now?
Yeah, well, we gotta keep fighting. We gotta find a way to be better offensively, to find a rhythm. We're not helping ourselves. We're making it tough on ourselves, and we gotta find a way to move the ball more efficiently as an offense. And so, I gotta play better. I gotta hit my targets and have a great control of the offense on protections and getting into better plays and doing some things. So, it's just all around. We got some moving parts and some different guys playing, and it's my job to play a better job and to raise my level of play and raise their level of play. No, I mean, I thought we had a good plan and they did a good job getting pressure on us, and they got, it wasn't anything we hadn't seen or weren't prepared for. It wasn't anything that we shouldn't have picked up. They did a good job getting some pressure. Had to, throw the ball a little bit before I wanted to sometimes. Try to take some shots down the field. We didn't connect on any. So, we didn't win. Just didn't take advantage of some of the press man and that technique, and never got him out of it just because we didn't hit any plays down the field. I think it's just a matter. We just gotta play better. I mean, it's the same team. It's I think we prepare well and we practice well, and we do the things correct at practice. We just don't perform well on game day. We just as well as we can. There's some good things, and there are some stretches that we do. We make some plays and we do do some good things, but it seems to start some of the games. We just don't get into a rhythm early. We found ourselves getting down in a few games.
All right, quarterback Eli Manning. If you look at those statistics, gentlemen, 27 for 52, 359 yards and 2 touchdowns. That sounds like quite a good evening. But as statistics can be real deceiving, because those yards are coming really when you're playing catch up. You're going to get all those yards.
Yeah, but the one statistic that's good, that's Eli's trending in the right direction, is he doesn't have any interceptions over the last 4 games.
Yeah,
so
that's
showing that Eli's doing his part. He's not being the reason. He's not being the reason why that the Giants are losing by him giving the ball up like he did last year.
So let me ask you this: you heard Eli say this. We hear players say it all the time. We practice well. We hear coaches say they practice well. They worked hard in practice. Why does that not transcend into the game?
Well, you're supposed to practice well.
I know that.
You're playing against the backup.
You're
supposed to. I mean, you're playing against scout team guys, but when it all works together on Sunday, then it makes it all worth it. Then you can say, oh, I practice, and then we transfer all that. But if you're not going to meetings, walk through a film, the practice, the performance on Sundays, then you're practicing Wednesday, Thursday, good for nothing. I mean, at some point with every player, right, Sean?
Yeah.
From Friday afternoon to Sunday or Monday at kickoff, it goes into your own personal mental preparation and what it takes to get ready to play. And that's when you lose 5 games.
Yeah,
something broke down during that period.
Well, to your point, Russ, practice is a controlled environment, so the game speed is even that much greater, and it's hard to replicate that during the week. But also for the Giants, they're a very young team. So on a bye week, to have gone now this long without actually playing that game speed and having that live action, it definitely showed. I thought they were rusty. And Eli even said himself he was rusty. He had a lot of passes go sailing on him.
Sure. I want to go back to Eli Manning for a second. He said it during the week. He said it again today. All those second and 12s, we got to run the ball better. That hurts us on third down. I mean, you've got to listen to that. I mean, he's the best remedy to help Eli Manning is to run the ball better, and that's a direct responsibility of all. I mean, you and I both play the position.
Roman, 8 third and 7 pluses in the first half alone. Yeah. And they only convert one of those.
The irony is the longest run play today was an 18-yard run by Eli Manning on a broken play. Yeah, so that's not something that's going to help this passing game if the quarterback is running for 18 yards.
No, you still got to just catch the ball, though. I don't care if it's practice or in a game, you got to catch the ball. We got a lot more, though, coming up here, folks. First, though, we got to take care of some business. Guests of our pregame, our postgame show, receive a gift certificate to Ben & Jack Steakhouse located on 5th Avenue at 28th Street. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood anyplace, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of a steakhouse. And again, as you got to see, Hall of Famer number 92, Michael Strahan, honored at MetLife Stadium tonight. We've got more coming up on tonight's festivities. My colleagues were there for it, and we'll hear from Michael himself. So again, stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9.
Finding this way, being a part of it. Without all the guys who couldn't make it, but were a part of teams I was a part of from 93 to 2007. With these guys who are up here with me to lead the way, to inspire me to come out here every day, practice in every game, to be the absolute best I could be. And the reason for that, and the reason we did it, is because we did it for the most important people who come in this stadium every Sunday, and that is you, the fans.
Number 92, Michael Strahan, Hall of Famer. So, guys, what was it like being out there with your former teammate?
Well, it was great to see Michael. It was great to see everybody. Yeah. I mean, there's... you don't get to get together as often as you would like. But it was good to see that guy and Strahan. You know, I think I speak for everybody when I say he was a fun guy to play with. Always brought a lot of passion to the game. Always had a good time. He was always smiling. You know, I have a lot of fond memories of playing with him and against him.
Yeah, I mean, watching as a kid, you know, Lawrence Taylor and Harry Carson, you know, I was middle school, high school, and then when it's your generation and you've got a Hall of Famer in your generation, I mean, that's a lot more compelling because now you can see the guys that we played with and just all the veteran guys that came over the weekend just to come for this homecoming. So it was really awesome to see all the different generations of former Giants. And, you know, Wellington Maris said, you know, once a Giant, always a Giant. I think that's what stuck out to me the most.
I just remember being there and just being around the guys again, like you said, Sean, you don't get to be around them a lot. And also, it's weird because when you're around the guys and you're around Strahan, it's almost like we never even spent any time apart. We get back to the same old roles that we had in the locker room. So
yeah.
It was a good memory, good memories tonight. And it was great to have such a great guy and Strahan get honored in the fashion that he did at Giant Stadium.
It was good to see that bust up close. They did a really good job. That gap, I mean, it's on point.
They didn't make the teeth sharp enough.
They did a good job. Yeah.
In his book, he talked about how
you money, read his book?
How money changes people. He said, yeah. The outlook. He said, yeah. Hey, when I first came into the league,
yeah.
He says I was a knucklehead with a problem, and he says,
nothing's changed.
He says, no, now I'm a handsome hound dog with a distinguished smile.
Oh, very nice.
So he's doing very, very well these days, I'll tell you.
That's funny, you read his book. That's hilarious.
I had some fun with
you
Michael.
Write a book, we'll read yours too.
After the first year, you know, he didn't get into the Hall of Fame. You know, I was teasing him, and I said, they really voted you in, but the people that were responsible for creating the bus said they needed one more year to perfect it. So that's why he had to wait one more year to get in. But it was great to see Mike, and great to see, you know, all the Hall of Famers.
Structural, they needed to reinforce.
Got to work on that bridge.
Gap tooth or not, knew how to play football.
That's Do we have time for another story?
Go ahead, real quick.
Okay. So the training camp that Strahan held out for, you know, he's gone and you know, everybody's waiting for Mike to show up. And William Joseph wore his jersey out to practice one day and put it on over the pads and the helmet. Everybody thought Strahan had come back because he had held out for training camp. Even Coach Coughlin didn't know. The place just went nuts because they thought Strahan was coming back to practice, coming back for the season. And when Willie took his helmet off, obviously the gig was up. Everybody knew it wasn't Stray. But we had a blast at the fans' expense up in Albany. And even Coach Coughlin, he didn't know. He's looking around going, what's everybody cheering about? What's going on? And, Willie Joe did a great job. It was great. We were texting Stray the whole time in training camp, wondering when he was going to come back, and thank goodness he did.
That's a lot more than a 10-second story.
Yeah, I'm trying to save you from another bump.
All right. We're coming back to wrap things up. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9.
All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live. Before we wrap everything up, what do you say we go back to MetLife Stadium? Paul Dottino caught up with Robert Ayers.
Robert, I have to say, personally speaking, I thought you were a beast out there today. You had a lot of quarterback hits, had a sack, I think a forced fumble in there as well. How difficult is it, you're a team guy, I know you are, when you go out there and you put it out there on the field, but everything else team-wise isn't clicking the way you want it to?
Man, personally, it's not difficult at all. You know, I'm the type of person, I don't really care about moral victories or individual victories. You know, I'm not that type of person. You know, we lost, so, you know, that's what's difficult. Putting a good effort, and you know, that don't really matter to me. I just want to win. So, you know, we lost, and that's all I really care about.
All right, now it looked like the defense was playing hard in the first half, and you guys were trying to keep the team in the game, but it was an uphill battle. And obviously, this very explosive offense, sooner or later, you had to know that you know, it was going to be a tough mountain to climb.
Yeah, I mean, they're good offense, but you know, I don't believe in conceding things. You know, I expect for us to, you know, be able to stop anybody. And, you know, tonight wasn't our night to do that, so it is what it is. But, you know, they made plays and we didn't. You know, we got a big game next week, so we're just going to get ready for that one. But, you know, credit to them. You know, they did a good job.
Robert, you're a veteran. Let me ask you before we kick it out of here, how did Tom Coughlin react with you guys in the locker room after this one? And is it best to forget it and leave it in the past? How do you build off it? How do you try to come up from the ashes and go out to Seattle, which is obviously a very tough trip to make?
Well, what don't kill you make you stronger. And, you know, we got a tough challenge next week, but, you know, all we can do is build on this. You know, this is a learning experience, and you learn from the things that you go through, and you move forward, and it makes you stronger. So, you know, we took a beating today, you know, whatever score was, to a lot to a little bit, but it is what it is. We look at the film, correct some things, and we get ready for a tough Seattle and go up and try to get a win. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, we're 3-5. It's not the end of the world. You know, we got 8 more games. You know, we could finish 11-5. So we just got to keep working and keep grinding, you know, and that's how I'm going to approach it. And we got a lot of veteran players on this team. I'm pretty sure 100% of them going to approach it the same way, and it starts with Coach Coughlin. So we're just going to keep banging it out.
Robert Ayers, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it. Good game on your behalf tonight.
I appreciate it.
All right, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Well, Robert Ayers saying 8 wins, and they finished the season at 11-5. They better get busy because they got a lot of work to do. Let's take a look at the standings. Philadelphia, of course, at the top at 6-2, followed by Dallas 6-3, Giants 3-5, and Washington at 3-6. Guys, your thoughts on what needs to be done real quickly?
Well, you got to get on the plane and take that difficult West Coast trip to Seattle. Seattle team has done well at home over the last 2 years, and so they've got the work cut out for them. And but this team has to find a way to start fast. That's the only way you're going to go on the road in Seattle and find a way to win.
Yeah, they lost 3 straight, and you know, they're doing a good job of taking care of the football now, but they have to score points. They cannot kick field goals in Seattle and expect to win that football game.
They got
to
know who they are. They're a scrappy team. They're going to have to play mistake-free football. They cannot keep losing opportunities and dropping balls. This receiving core needs to step up. There's so many opportunities out there for them to make game-changing plays tonight, and they didn't make it. They're going to have to do that in Seattle, or it's going to get ugly.
Well, speaking of Seattle, as we've been saying, the big game next Sunday afternoon, November 9th, 4:25 p.m. in Seattle against the defending Super Bowl champs, the Seahawks, and you'll see that game on sister station Fox 5. Then, as always, the minute the game ends, you want to flip right back over here to my 9 for our Giants post-game live. For Amani Toomer, Sean O'Hara. I'm Russ Salford. You've been watching Giants Post Game Live. Have yourselves a good week, and we will see you next Sunday right after the Giants battle the Seahawks in Seattle.
I'm good.